Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the show. Happy Friday. Bill Ryder with you, filling in for Jim. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios when you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Phone number on the program, 1-800-636-8686. Rome at haveitake.com, at Jim Rome on Twitter, jimrome.com, odyssey.com. You can also hit me up, say hi, say nice things, yell at me, sports writer, sports R-E-I-T-E-R on Twitter. And you can also hear me in the mornings, my show on the 2 hours before Jim's, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern time, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. out here on the West Coast. And as always, it's a thrill, and it's an honor to fill in for Jim, to sit in this chair. And I think I've talked about it here on the show. I'm amazed by it. Like every turning point in my own career has been connected to the Jim Rome Show. And very cool of Jim and the guys in the show and everyone involved to allow me to fill in. We've got Tom Haberstroh coming up in about 15 or 20 minutes. We'll talk some hoops with him, a little NBA. Jerry Hairston Jr., my buddy, longtime Major League Baseball player, Dodgers analyst, going to be on the program. We'll talk some Dodgers, some Padres, and just some of the goings-on around the major leagues. We'll talk Brooklyn Nets later in the show. One of you wanted my daily Nets bashing, so we'll get that for you as requested. We'll talk Pujols and Lakers injuries. One of the great things about the job that I have is that you get to meet really great people. And I just want to do full disclosure. I think Frank Martin is one of the best people that I've met. I consider him a friend, great guy, talented guy. And so there you go. There's my accurate perspective and bias out there out front on the Jim Rome Show. And I bring that up because Frank, who is the men's basketball coach at South Carolina, joins me now on the program. Hello, Frank Martin. How are you, my friend?
Bill, how you doing, man? And just so everyone that's listening knows, the feeling is absolutely mutual with me.
I was just thinking that, Frank, I've known you, it's not 20 years, but it's probably 15, right? It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's the years go by, Bill. I still remember when you were running around losing your mind because you get ready to have your first child.
It's
unbelievable, man. My youngest will be in high school next year. That's how crazy it is.
No, you're right. You and I and your wife and my wife, Lori, and Brad Underwood and his wife all got dinner at Garozo's when we were in Kansas City, which if you ever go to Kansas City, Garozo's is the place, as long as you like garlic. I think it's my favorite Italian restaurant in the country when Lori was expecting Madeline, and now Madeline's in middle school. So the passage of time is part of the deal, Frank, and so is the sort of repetition of history. And you don't need to comment on Kansas State, but I will. I have been pretty vocal over the years about what I thought was a colossal error in judgment by the people that were there that are no longer in power, and whatever led to you going to another program. You go to South Carolina, you get your team, you get your program to a national championship game, which is not an easy thing to do. Let's be frank. I'll be frank. At South Carolina, and you fast forward a few years, and you were, at least according to the reporting down there, on the hot seat. There were questions about whether you were going to stick around. I was pretty vocal that I thought it would be a colossal error in judgment if they did not allow you to come back and do your thing. For somebody whose family is there, right, it involves your personal life, what is that process like to be waiting on word or at least to have people that know you waiting on word about whether or not you're going to get to retain a job?
Bill, we handled nothing differently internally than we ever have in my 9 years at South Carolina. I don't deal with my contract. I don't deal with next year until I'm removed from the previous year. It's just the way I do things. If the school wanted to remove me, they would have removed me. It's their right. They have every opportunity to do so. The unfortunate part of today's world is that, gossip has become truth. And because of social media, the truth gets told, but the gossip also becomes truth, even though it's not true. And that's kind of what happened. It's just too many people speaking and not knowing. And that's unfortunate for the families, not just my family. Think about my GA who signed up to his career with me. you know, my video coordinator who just left an assistant coach's job because he played for me to come back. And, you know, but that's what happens because, you know, the narrative was, oh, he's only been to one NCAA tournament in 9 years. Well, that's true on paper, but in reality, we weren't going my first 3 years here unless I cheated, and I was not going to cheat. You know me. You know I'm not cheating. And and then we made the run to the Final Four. We had the two winningest seasons in the history of the school. And this past year, we were not good. The year before, we were one win away from going to the NCAA tournament, and the season got shut down. So it's unfortunately the world we live in. I did a really bad job last season. Number one, I mismanaged the things I could have managed better. I've never coached under a pandemic, and the decisions I made didn't work. I'm not talking about X's and O's. And then I got sick, man. And then I'm in the middle of the season, and I just didn't have the energy to do my job the way it needed to be done. I played hurt, and maybe I should have called in sick instead of playing hurt.
Frank Martin here on the show. Frank, I find you so fascinating for so many reasons, and that's so interesting because the way that you and I got to know each other and became friends and collegial is the newspaper I worked for, the Kansas City Star, was merciless in its reporting of you when Bob Huggins, after a year, went to West Virginia. And as it turned out, and I didn't know this until I got to know you, right? So when we first met, I worked for that paper, and I did. And wildly inaccurate. Do you take pains now? Do you try to present who you are to the people that cover you, or do you just go the opposite direction and say, "To hell with it, I'm not even getting involved with the beat writers, the national guys, or whoever it is that are going to shape how people view you for better, and at least as it relates to early on in Kansas City, your time at K-State, sometimes for worse."
Yeah, I asked Bob Huggins long ago, when I first got the job, what would you do differently if, you know, his advice for me as I got going? And he said to me, I would never have fought the media. And so I learned right away, you know, I don't care what they write, what they report, don't fight them. It's not their fault. And so I don't fight. On the contrary, I just like I did with you, I try to give people the time that they need so they can truthfully report who I am and what we're about. And there's some people that take advantage of it and some people don't. And, you know, that's their prerogative. And, you know, Bill, I don't know if you knew this at the time, but talking about my contract and all that, when you and I were sitting at that Denny's across the parking lot from the hotel,
yeah,
or an IHOP, I don't remember what it was, I didn't have a contract. I worked that whole year without a contract. So I live my life day by day, man. Somebody wants to pay me to coach basketball, I'll take the job for the day. And if I do it well enough, maybe they'll have me back the next time.
I feel the same way about radio. Frank Martin here on the show. Frank, the transfer portal, I mean, this is a new reality for people in the position that you're in. It is empowering for student athletes. I'm sure it makes life more difficult for people in your position. To what degree are you going to change how you go about recruiting or building a scouting department? How does this affect not just your approach, but just how do college basketball coaches have to change given the new reality in the transfer portal?
It's difficult. And I thought the process that we had in place was fair since we're in the world of education. Just relate that to life, Bill. Most people that get married at the age of 18 to 20 get divorced because they don't know how to manage adversity. And every relationship's going to have adversity. And that's what happens when you when you let people out. And I don't mean let them out from a restrictive standpoint, but just not make them learn how to deal with the difficulties of moments. That's what allows you to build real relationships. And what fans of college basketball, because Tom Izzo, Matt Painter, me, Calipari, Huggins, we've all been barking for the last 5 or 6 years. We've had 800 a year in our sport. Now, if they're going to open it for immediate eligibility, well, you now everyone's saying, wait a second. Well, we've been trying to tell everybody, there's going to be, by the time summer gets here, there's going to be close to 2,000 transfers in the portal. And the days of getting out of bed and rooting for the guy that plays for your school for 4 years – and then knowing the guy that plays at your rival school for 4 years, those days are pretty much done in our sport. It's going to be root for your team, and let's figure out who everyone is as every year starts.
Frank Martin here on the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. Frank, one of the things that I got to know about you that I wrote about when I was at the Kansas City Star, and I think when I became a national writer, that I found really fascinating and really nuanced is you are in practice. You let me into your practices, into your locker room. You are hard on those kids. You yell at those kids. I mean, you get after them. It is not, and some coaches don't do that. And then you also, you love those kids. I'll never forget you going after a young man aggressively at practice. And then you and I were in the car. I think you were driving, for some reason, we were driving from Manhattan, Kansas to the Kansas City Airport, which is 2.5 hours away. And that player called you and thanked you for sort of how much you cared about his basketball and your approach. But it clearly took some time. It wasn't like you walked in, yelled at somebody, got on somebody, had standards, and they liked you overnight. How much are you going to have to change your approach knowing that if somebody gets mad enough at you after a season, right, if you don't have the time to build that trust, they can just be like, deuces, I'm out, I'm going somewhere else?
Yeah, I've got to stay true to who I am and understand what you just explained. But that's where recruiting, you can't be someone you're not in recruiting. And I've always been in recruiting an open book. That's why everyone says, no one wants to play for him. You know, Bill, every time I've looked, I've had a full scholarship on my team. I haven't had an open scholarship on my team. And because there's different people for different walks of life. They're different flavors. And I recruit people that I let them understand me in recruiting so they comprehend who I'm going to be on an everyday basis. And but that the dynamic you just explained, that's my challenge. Because I think I've grown from being more patient than I used to be when you were around me a whole lot. But at the same time, I'm still real demanding. And I want players that want to be held accountable. That's not going to change. I'm going to keep recruiting those guys because if I walk in and I'm different, the players that have been with me are going to come get me and say, hey, I didn't come here for this, man. You know, and I'd rather lose the guy that doesn't want to work than lose the guy that does want to work. And in order to get people to work, I have to be true to who I am.
Frank Martin on the show. Frank, let me end with just, you don't need to hear this, but to the folks listening in South Carolina and the fans, just a warning. I tend to fall in love with some of the fan bases that I cover. You know what it's like, Frank, as a coach. Some fan bases are great, yep. Right? I love Dodgers fans. I love Kansas State fans. God help me and my family forgive me. I love Kansas fans because I like Bill Self, right? And I just like that community. And that's hard to say out loud. I even like Cardinals fans as a Cubs fan. There are a lot of folks who are Kansas State fans who are still mad that you're not there, Frank. And I wrote a pretty scathing column of the former AD that got crushed locally that every year, it's like a weird wedding anniversary, people will write me on the anniversary of this column that I wrote however many years ago you left, Frank, I can't remember, with an apology note. Hey, it's Joe Smith from Manhattan, Kansas. And they write that these guys, I get like 50 a year. You were right. That was terrible. We miss Frank. So just South Carolina, I'm just telling you, appreciate what you have while you have it. Frank Martin, it's great to hear your voice. I'm glad you're doing better. I've been thinking about you. And as always, my friend, very gracious of you to make some time.
Bill, it's always great to hear you, too. And somehow, some way, we got to make plans and meet halfway and call Michael Garozo and let's do dinner again.
I'm fully vaccinated, so I'm about to get back to that travel thing at some point. You let me know when you want to go to or you're in Kansas City, and I will come out and we'll eat some chicken spadini.
You got it, my brother. That's the plan.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Frank. Frank Martin on the show. Glad we did that. I know it's not college hoops time, but I'm so interested in guys who almost get fired, who don't, and where they're at. And I appreciate the honesty from Frank. Let's shift gears to the NBA. We heard from Jeff Zilgit. Tom Haberstroh is great, and I don't always agree with him, but I'm always impressed and really swayed by his perspective. I don't know where he's going to come down to the MVP. A few months ago, he made the case it was Steph Curry, and he sees things from a very different and a very bright perspective. Tom Haberstroh, national NBA guy, NBA podcaster, sabermetrician, going to join me. I'm Bill Ryder filling in here on the Jim Rome Show. He's going to join me in a moment here on CBS Sports Network and CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You're in a 5-minute break.
Welcome back into the show. Bill Rutter with you, filling in for Jim on the Jim Rome Show. Saturday, it's a big day of sports on CBS. Begin at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific, with the National Women's Soccer League Challenge Cup Final. Then at 3 Eastern, that's noon out here on the West Coast, it's off to the golf course where some of the PGA Tour's best will be on the tee competing at the Wells Fargo Championship. That's all coming up Saturday on CBS. Phone number on the program, 1-800-636-8686. Jerry Hairston Jr. going to be on the show about 40 minutes from now. We'll talk some baseball. We'll get into the latest from the Nets. James Harden has something to say. Kevin Durant had something to say. It's interesting. Albert Pujols deserves, I think, a little bit of love after some reflection of his. It's not a retirement. He's no longer a member of the Angels, and he'd still like to play. The numbers suggest he doesn't do that at a high level because he doesn't. But still one of the all-time greats. We'll honor him a little bit. We'll talk some Lakers and Anthony Davis and whether or not the West is wide open about 15 or 20 minutes. And we'll get to your phone calls, 1-800-636-8686, and some of your reactions and perspectives, rome@haveatake.com. If you want to email, @JimRome on Twitter, as always, JimRome.com. All right, so let's I'm really excited. I don't know what Tom's going to say, but I love his perspective. I have a bunch of stuff I want to hit with him. Tom Haberstroh, who has the best pun-named show in media. It's The Haber Show, which is really, really good, on Twitter @TomHaberstroh. Hello, Tom. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you?
I'm wonderful. And I'm really interested in your perspective. I was telling the audience at the start of the show just a few minutes ago how much I respect your basketball knowledge. And we just talked to Jeff Zilga a little bit ago about how there's so much groupthink in the NBA, and I think there's a lot of sort of gravitational weight on people to conform, frankly, and not just in NBA coverage. That does not apply to you, and I love your perspective. So let's get into it. Your MVP ballot, how in a year where almost everyone thinks that Jokic is a shoe-in, where is your head at? What is the research and your own eye told you about who the most valuable player in the NBA is this season?
I don't think it's about groupthink. I think it's just a recognition that Nikola Jokic has been the best player in the NBA this season, bar none. I mean, if you like advanced metrics, he's number one in win shares and player efficiency rating and box plus minus, VORP. I can even make up some acronyms for you. He's probably leading that category as well. But even in just like the regular old traditional box score metrics, he's averaging 26 points, 10.9 rebounds, and 8.4 assists, and shooting 56% from the floor, 40% from three, and 86% from the free throw line. The efficiency is outrageous. He's 15 made free throws away from being in the hallowed, very exclusive 50-40-90 club, which is like, it has like seven members in it, just 50% from the floor, 40% from three, and 90% from the free throw line. Like, the only members of that club are guys like Steve Nash, Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant. And this Nikola Jokic is a center who's maybe the best passing player in the NBA. And he's 7 feet tall, and he's got outrageous efficiency shooting numbers. And he can shoot it from just about anywhere on the court. This guy is an amazing player. Second round pick from Denver a few years ago. Some people might not be familiar with his game, but I got to be honest here, Bill. The people that are coming up with other candidates to beat Nikola Jokic in the MVP race, I think we're looking at this and just saying, this guy is funny looking, he's pale, he's kind of chubby. I don't really see that guy as the MVP this season, because everything else points to this has been the best player this year.
Tom Haberstroh on the show. It's funny you bring up the 50-40-90, Tom, because at the end of that, at that Lakers-Denver game, I didn't just want, I'm sorry, Lakers fans, the chaos of the Lakers losing. I wanted Jokic to hit all the free throws for that exact reason, because every player that's in that 50-40-90 club is or will be in the Hall of Fame other than Malcolm Brogdon. It is such an exclusive club, and to your point, it is so incredible that he's that close. All right, so Jokic is your guy. I think he's most people's vote. The other names on spaces on the ballot are going to be really interesting. Are there any names that you think are higher than they should be in the sort of general conversation out there in the NBA, or lower than they should be, just in terms of being on the ballot?
Yeah, I just think LeBron James has missed too many games to be on the ballot at this point. Coming back early last week, trying to get into that Sacramento game, and then re-aggravating the injury short time after that, obviously did not want to watch the Lakers continue to spiral down the drain and watch the regular season potentially go down into the 7, 8, 9, 10 play-in tournament, right? But look, I think that was a little impulsive by him, and I think you look at Anthony Davis earlier this season did the same thing where he said, you know, I might have a hurt Achilles, but I don't want to rest. I'm not that kind of guy, so I'm going to come back early, maybe against the doctor's wishes or against, you know, what might seem like the safe play. And he aggravated the injury, and he was out for much longer. And so I think, you know, when you look at the cases of other people in the NBA, LeBron James certainly had an MVP case early in the season. But the fact that he's missed over 20 games, I think, invalidates his contention in the MVP race. And I think, you know, you look at other guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo, Stephen Curry, Joel Embiid, who's played better on both ends of the floor than LeBron. I think they have better cases to be on that ballot. Damian Lillard, of course. Chris Paul has now had a big, big surge here at the end of the season to be in that conversation. But let's make no mistake about it. This is Nikola Jokic's award, and everyone's just trying to make up some drama here with the MVP at this stage of the season.
I could not agree more. Tom Haverstraw here on the show. Tom, the Lakers are still the betting favorites to come out of the West and to be NBA champions. Do you think that's a smart bet?
I think it's asinine. I think the idea that the Los Angeles Lakers are going to wave a magic wand and have LeBron James come back from a high ankle sprain that he aggravated again, and Anthony Davis, who was just yesterday out with back spasms after 9 minutes in the game, again, an Achilles injury and a calf strain that he suffered earlier in the season. The problem with that is that the other muscles in your body atrophy because you're not allowed to be on your feet for much of that recovery. And so other complications will arise. We've certainly seen with Anthony Davis that he has not been someone who has been able to play through injury, minor injuries before. And so when you see him getting out with back spasms and their seating is falling from 6 to maybe 7 and 8, this is a high-risk scenario for re-injury, is that Anthony Davis or LeBron James are going to try to come back early and possibly re-injure themselves going for playoff positioning or just trying to win a playoff series. I think it's insane that the Lakers are the favorites. And I think really what this is Vegas seeing that we got LeBron James and Anthony Davis defending champs. We're going to put that on the board, and we're going to get a lot of bets with that bet. I just don't see how the Lakers should be favored with both of their guys injured at this point.
You're right. And by the way, as you know, L.A., not far from Vegas, a lot of folks are rolling over to Vegas on the weekend drinking and thinking it's fun to put money on the Lakers. I'm sure it's affecting the line. Tom Haverstraw here on the Jim Rome Show. So I'm not rooting against the Lakers. I'm not ever rooting for anyone to be injured, Tom. But the Western Conference being wide open, the notion of that is really fun, especially this year. In that scenario, if the Lakers aren't sure things, let's just eliminate them. Let's just say that they don't win even two series. Who do you like? What's the sort of pecking order for you when we get to the playoffs with this grouping of really interesting Western Conference teams?
If Kawhi Leonard's foot is not an issue going forward, I think they should be the favorite. Because right now, even though the Utah Jazz are the best record in the Western Conference and on pace to win about 60 games this year over an 82-game sample, a normal season, I still think you look at the Clippers with their two stars, as Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and the supporting cast as the favorites. Considering the fact that Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley have not shown to be healthy at this stage, if those two players, Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley, were healthy and playing well before the playoffs, I think it's the Utah Jazz year. Because of the fact that everyone else seems to be battered or injured to their stars, this is one of those seasons. I look at the Detroit Pistons in 04 where they snuck up on people and we were like, why didn't we see this coming? They beat the Lakers in 04, a much more star-studded lineup, because they just played better on both ends of the floor, and that's a Utah Jazz. They're elite on both ends of the floor. They have five amazing starters, just like you see with the Pistons in 04. And I think you're going to see Utah Jazz, if they get healthier with Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell, I think this is a real potential. And if you want to go to Vegas and place these bets now, I wouldn't be mad at you, because I think people are sleeping on the Jazz and not realizing these injuries around the league are legit. And I think if those two guys, Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley, get back into form, I would rush to figure out how I can place bets on that team, because that Utah Jazz squad has been amazing this season, and they continue to play well even without those guys.
Man, I mean, you're ahead. I put some money down last time around on the Jazz at, I think, 22-1 to be NBA champions, and that didn't happen last year, Tom, as you know. And so I just decided I'm not doing it this year, and that was dumb. All right, let me put your NBA day trading hat on for me. Are you buying or selling, Tom Habershaw, stock in the Brooklyn Nets right now?
Sell, sell, sell. I am fading the Brooklyn Nets. I've done this all year before the season. I thought they would be under their over-under win total from Vegas. And that was, granted, before James Harden was traded there. But when you look at the injury that Kevin Durant suffered, one of the things you worry about with an Achilles tear is just additional injuries. It might not be so much about the Achilles, but like the same thing we talked about with Anthony Davis, these compensatory injuries where you're compensating for an atrophy in your muscle, in your leg, or whatever it is, other things start to bark, like your hamstring, that KD has been lingering hamstring issues all season long. Same with James Harden. I just don't see how the Lakers and the Nets can get it all together, A, health-wise, and B, play great on both ends of the floor without the chemistry of their new additions to their team. So you look at the Lakers, I just don't see how Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder are somehow going to rebuild that chemistry with a limping Anthony Davis and LeBron James in time for them to get ready for the championship run. And same thing with the Nets. Like, when you're talking about Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan and Kyrie Irving and James Harden and Kevin Durant, you need chemistry. They simply have not had the chemistry to lead a postseason run, in my opinion. And I think the Brooklyn Nets, people look at the star power. They're not healthy. James Harden is saying he's going to be ready before the postseason, but who knows about that? He's had a longer timetable than we expected initially. And then the fact that they have the worst defense among all the 20 playoff picture teams in the NBA, 23rd in the NBA in defensive rating. James Harden is not going to help that. He is not rescuing them on that end of the floor. And so it's akin to, like, if a football team was saying, hey, I might not like my quarterback, but guess what? We have a really good defensive end coming in to save us. Like, that's not the issue. The issue is upgrading your quarterback. And for the Nets, even if James Harden comes back, it still does not clean up their glaring weakness on the defensive end. And I think this could be an early out for the Brooklyn Nets in the playoffs.
It's like you're in my brain, Tom Habershaw, because it's very rare that someone comes on any show I do, including filling in on the Jim Rome show, and everything they say is everything that I say over the course of a year, and I agree completely. That either bodes really well for me or really badly for you, but we are on the exact same page on every single thing you just said. Very quickly before I let you go, so in that reality, where the Nets are not sure things, they're also the favorites in the East, I like how the Bucks are playing, but I understand people's skepticism, but there's a lot of teams you could be skeptical of for a lot of reasons. Are you eyeing Philly? Are you eyeing a surprise? Who do you like, or what teams, plural, if it's a few, do you like in the Eastern Conference if it's not the Brooklyn Nets?
I love Philly this season. I love Danny Green and the Seth Curry acquisition, spacing to open up the floor for Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid to do their work. You know, in years past, Embiid has had health issues in the postseason. Otherwise, I think they could be in the final teams in each of the last, you know, several years. Ben Simmons, too, last year being injured. If those two guys are healthy, and I hate saying this so much, Bill, but that's the state of the NBA with all these injuries. If those two guys are healthy, which they are right now, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, if those two guys are healthy, I think they are the favorites to come out of the Eastern Conference. They play both ends of the floor. They've got defenders everywhere. And, you know, when you talk about late game scoring, which has been an issue for them in years past without that, you know, Kevin Durant or LeBron James or Steph Curry on the team, Joel Embiid has developed to be that player, and he is so skilled. We don't typically think of guys that big to be a go-to scorer down the stretch, but with the wide-open NBA and the dribble game that he has and the mid-range game that he has, I certainly think that Joel Embiid can be that guy for them, and I just love what they've done this season, and I think everyone should be awake to what the Philadelphia 76ers are going to do in the playoffs this year.
All right, Tom Habershaw, I'm looking forward to seeing you and maybe grabbing a beer in Salt Lake City in Philadelphia in July. Statement I never thought I'd say about the NBA Finals. Thank you, my friend.
You got it, man.
See you, buddy. Tom Habershaw on the show. He's great, man. Big fan. At Tom Habershaw on Twitter. Let's take some phone calls. Get in line. Get to a few of these calls. 1-800-636-8686 on the Jim Rome Show. I'm Bill Rutter filling in.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy Friday. Thanks for hanging out. Bill Ryder filling in. Brian Weber in early part of next week. Listen up, clones. Not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper's Original Old Fashioned, teriyaki hot and spicy, and peppered all come in 4-ounce bags, so you can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? My wife loves that stuff. My wife is a crazy Old Trapper fan. We got so much of that in the house. So I did something, God, it felt good, yesterday that I haven't done in more than a year. I think there's going to be a lot of this going around, by the way, reconnecting with stuff we took for granted. I called up a buddy, called up a friend of mine, and I said, dude, Greg, you want to go to a Dodgers game in the next few weeks? And the answer was yes. I have not, this is the long, I know we all are in these patterns that are the longest streaks on a lot of levels, a lot of things. I can't remember the last time I went more than a year not going to a baseball game. Feels good, man. And in LA, we're lucky enough. The Dodgers are amazing. I mean, they're obviously a great team. And Dodger Stadium is such a great place to watch a ball game. I also, words I've never spoken before, can't wait to go to some Angels games. Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, I'm in. Here, mediocre, underperforming Anaheim Angels, you can have my money. Take my money. I'm in. I want to watch some baseball. All right, let's do a call or two. 1-800-636-8686 and RomanHaveATake.com. Maybe we'll read some of your tweets and thoughts. Let's speaking of LA, sounds like speaking of the Dodgers, let's stay here in LA. Steve, what is up? You're on the Jim Rome Show.
Hey Bill, thanks for taking my call. I've watched almost all the Dodger games, and I'm probably speaking for about 70 to 80% of the Dodger Nation. A good manager, you got to be more than a cheerleader and a nice guy. A good manager needs to know how to handle a bullpen. A good manager needs to know how to put the players in a position to succeed. A good manager knows how to win one-run games. They're 4-10. A good manager knows how to win extra inning games. They're 1-6. Dave Roberts could manage a little league team.
All right. So you're. I appreciate the call. You're a Dave Roberts fan. Here's what I'll say. And it is absolutely accurate. And I love the stats. And I love the information. I love the facts that that the Dodgers have underperformed in close games this year. And you may be wrong. You may be right. I'm not sure it particularly matters. And here's why. And by the way, what I'm about to say is both true, and it has resulted in a Dodgers World Series win. Not that long ago, right? It's worked. I think Andrew Friedman, who's the president of baseball operations and came from the Tampa Bay organization, a small market organization. My God, how long has it been? 6 years or 7 years or whatever it's been. I think he's one of the best, you know, GM pluses, baseball operations people in the business. And there are a lot of ways that you could sort of assess beyond just the World Series and continuing the streak he inherited of NL West division crowns. They had the highest payroll in baseball, but they also had like the highest terrible payroll in baseball. He was able to bring that down while still winning and building a farm system that has since helped develop and now drafted a bunch of amazing players. But Andrew Friedman is, what's the term I'm looking for? Bit of a control freak. He's a sabermetrician who believes, and look, you're in charge, you have success, and you have a vision, and you're really good at what you do. You're probably going to expect that it's implemented the way you want when you're in charge. That's called being a boss. Bad bosses do that. The good bosses are certainly going to do it when it leads to success. Whatever decisions Dave Roberts is making is in, if we're being generous, consultation, if we're being, you know, not generous and maybe accurate, at the behest of Andrew Friedman in the front office. They are critically important decision makers to in-game decision making. And whether or not that is what they tell us it is, which is we have all kinds of meetings and communication and there's a plan in place and there's a table and Dave gets to make his own decisions, but we know, you know, we sort of know in situations what we want him to do. Or my suspicion, there's this technology called text messages where you can send someone a note and it can be relayed. Look, if the Houston Astros can, and they did, do signals to cheat, certainly a front office it's not cheating, can tell their manager, here's what you're going to do here, here's what you're going to do. In the lineups, there's no chance that Dave Roberts, look, this isn't Moneyball where the GM walks in and says, I'd really like this guy to play, and the skipper puts his foot up on the desk and goes, I'll make the decisions around here. Doesn't work that way. If there's a difference of opinion between Dave Roberts and Andrew Friedman about how the lineup should go, it's going to be an Andrew Friedman decision. You know how I know that? Because Don Mattingly is no longer the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers. So I hear you, and it's been disappointing. And you may be right in terms of the decision-making of the Dodgers. Let me just add Andrew Friedman's name on top of your Dave Roberts frustration and everyone that's in between them. Here is probably how Andrew Friedman sees the situation. This is my guess. I would guess that Andrew Friedman sees the stats that you just offered up, the sub-optimal record in extra inning games and in one-run games, and says the problem isn't our decision-making, the problem isn't our lineup or our bullpen management, the problem is variance, and it's all a math game, and it's all going to work out, and it's all going to be okay. We'll see if that's the case. I'm, even though Dave Roberts is the manager, I think he's a pretty good manager. I think Dave Roberts is excellent for what the Dodgers want. And also, I don't think he gets credit for this. It is a very unique situation where Dave Roberts has to manage stars who don't care about the numbers and don't care about a sabermetrician's perspective, even someone as impressive as Andrew Friedman. Roberts has to manage that clubhouse and those guys over 162 games and Andrew Friedman. He has to be an ambassador between those two, a peacemaker, an interpreter, whatever it is. It's not easy. I think in the final conclusion, the Dodgers are going to win 104 games. They're going to go on some crazy tear where they're going to win 11 out of 12 games two times, or they're going to win 20 out of 22 games, or 15 in a row, whatever. They're too talented. Their rotation is too good. Their bullpen is pretty impressive. All right, that's what I got. Steve, anything else?
Yeah, be at the bottom. And one other thing, when you get Jerry Hairston on, ask Jerry Hairston to walk up to 10 people with Dodger hats that are fans and ask them if Dave Roberts is a good tactician manager.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call. I don't like that call.
Yeah.
Not a very good call.
No, that's such a great point. I'm going to ask Jerry Hairston Jr., who's coming on the Jim Rome Show, to drop what he's doing and do some man on the street sampling size Frank Luntz level polling of but only people that have Dodgers caps on. You have to be wearing a Dodgers cap for your really important opinion on the future of Dave Roberts, World Series winning manager. it's survey time. Let's, hey, you got a Dodgers hit on. Who do you want to hit in cleanup? Bellinger? Done. Because you know why? Because you have a Dodgers cap on. And that makes you a brilliant, beautiful SOB, and we got you. Thank you for your opinion. I mean, come on, man. Yeah, that'd be really awkward for everybody. Hey, are you Jerry Hairston Jr.? Yeah. Did you lose your money in a Ponzi scheme? What are you doing here? Why are you surveying me for my opinion? They just won a World Series. I love, and by love, I mean I'm bemused. I mean, you want to fire Dave Roberts right now. The Dodgers have the best run differential in baseball. I know, they should have won more games. And remember those Padres games, which were so much fun. Those felt like playoff games, hard-fought games. Dodgers played well. Dodgers have pitched well. Dodgers have a top five earned run average in baseball. The Dodgers have scored among the five most runs in baseball. Let me just like try to do the math on that. That makes them a top five offense and a top five pitching staff in baseball. They're incredible. And by the way, if I can get into the weeds here, they've also had Gavin Lux has come back from injury, and he's been swinging a really nice bat. That's going to be another one of these young guys that's just ridiculously incredible. Julio Urias, and they're being careful with his innings, and you should. Look what happened to Dustin May, is a guy that is going to be an ace-level player at some point if he's not already. David Price, when he's fully healthy, can slide into that five spot in the rotation, despite Clayton Kershaw just getting destroyed by my Cubs. I'm excited to ask Jerry Hairston Jr., by the way. So I guess, like, we have to have Jerry do a survey of people with Dodgers caps. How do we get them to Chicago? I need to do a survey on the, are the Cubs real? We need to ask, I guess, a bigger sample size, maybe 12 people wearing Cubs caps. I guess it's not just a cap. Garrett Ritt's wearing a Cubby shirt, so Garrett would qualify. I actually might ask Jerry. I might just ask Jerry, like, what would you do if someone like, you know, like Andrew Friedman asked you to go survey people on the street? Just like go to a Dodgers game and just collect information. I think I know what Jerry's response. You know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm not. I changed my mind. That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard in my entire life. 1-800-636-8686 is the phone number here on the Jim Rome Show. I know there's some other calls. We will get to them. Rome at haveatake.com. And you can hit us up if you want. Alex just wrote on Twitter at Jim Rome and at Sportswriter, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Awesome interview with Frank as a KSU grad. I still miss that guy. Yeah, man. He was awesome. And Wells in the 360 writes, Jokic has a great case for MVP. Signed, Ritt thinking he's the XR4T's MVP. By the way, speaking of that, I think my neighbor invented that. That's good. That's interesting people all over LA. The Ritt chops are my... But Ritt, what? No hot chocolate? Now he's just doing it in the back. Oh, I'm sorry. He's got it. It's in an Ike mug. Cool. Mm. Sounds so yummy. Let's, all right, Jerry Harrison Jr., we're not going to turn him into a pollster of Dodgers fans with Dodgers caps on, but we are going to talk some Dodgers, and I guess I'll ask about the criticism directed toward Dave Roberts. We'll talk some Cubs. We'll talk some Shohei Ohtani. We'll talk some Padres and some Yankees with Jerry next here on the Jim Rome Show.